Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. While you're turning there, just give you a thought today. Will Jesus really come again? Ask yourself the question, do you believe that Jesus really will come again? I know today everybody would say amen to that, and I don't believe there's anybody here that would say they did not believe that. But it's not a matter of believing. It's a matter of showing that we really believe by our actions and the things we do. And I want to share with you a few thoughts this morning. 2 Peter chapter number 3. In 1942, General Douglas MacArthur was forced to leave the Filipino island because of the Japanese takeover. And when he left, he told the people there, the Filipino people, he said, "I will return." And truly, they did not wonder. They wondered if he'd ever come back, if he really meant what he said. And he was true to his word. In 1944, he went back. He did return. He returned in power and defeated the Japanese army, retaking the Philippines just like he said that he would. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a man, a different man by the name of Jesus Christ that came to this earth. He was different because he came as a man that was different in the fact that he came in the flesh. But he came into the world to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death for sinful men, that we may have a place in heaven one day when we leave here. He met with his disciples before he left, and he somewhat said basically the same thing long before MacArthur ever did, by the way. But he told his disciples, he said, "I will come again. And if I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I'm grateful today that he said he would come again. But you know what? There's people today that still doubt the truth of whether Jesus will come again. I realize today that I'm preaching to the majority of people here that say we believe it. We know that he's coming again. However, I think sometimes we think that it's a faraway thing. We think that it could not happen imminently, but I say that it could even before I get through preaching today. I've often thought about it'd be wonderful if Jesus came while I was preaching the Word of God about His coming. So I've been trying to preach some messages on His coming, see if I couldn't rush things up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. He'll come in His time, and no man knoweth the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come. But yet today, people in our society are doubling up. They're criticizing, they're mocking, they're making fun, and they really look at us like we're crazy when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. So I want you to think with me this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to read the verses that we find here, verses 1 through 10, beginning in verse number 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Could I just stop right there? Things are not continuing as they were. I can assure you that in the day we're living in. Things are changing rapidly by the minute. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that they by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity once again we have to open this passage of Scripture. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I'm grateful for the promises that you give. And Lord, I've never found a promise that you did not fulfill or will not fulfill. And Lord, we know that one day you're coming again. I pray, even as John prayed on the Isle of Patmos, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our world is in a mess. It's turned upside down, going through things we've never experienced before. And Lord, I pray today that you might have your will and way. I know, Lord, it's in your time, in your purpose of your coming. But Lord, today we pray for your soon return, that you take us all home to be in heaven, those who are saved, that we may live with thee forever. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to notice today is his coming is doubted. In verse 3 and 4, and I'm going to read this again for emphasis, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. So that's the first thing we need to look for in understanding, is the first thing that's going to come in the last days is scoffers. And believe me, there's plenty of scoffers out there today that are making fun of the things of God and making fun of the fact that he's coming again. The Bible said they're walking after their own lust, not concerned about anybody else or what anybody else is doing, but only concerned about themselves and what they're doing and what's transpiring. And saying, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? They laugh at us and they make fun of us and they say, y'all are crazy, you're off your rocker. I tell you, most Christians today live as if they really don't believe that he's coming again. There seems to be no change in their life. There seems to be no change in the pattern of the way they're living. And they literally walk as if they did not think Jesus would come. I promise you this morning, if there had been some way for me to convince you that this morning Jesus Christ was going to be here at our church, there, listen, people couldn't have got within miles of this place if they really knew that he was going to be here, and they would want to be sure that they were there when he came. And I tell you today, a lot of people is going to be shocked when he does come because of the scoffers that are making fun of it. Now, Peter, in his passage of Scripture here, sheds some light upon these scoffers. The first thing we notice is their character. They're called scoffers. The word scoffer means to mock, to ridicule, to make fun of. These people make fun of, or they delight in making fun of the Word of God. Every mention of God is fuel for another joke. I tell you today, people love to tell jokes about hell and people in hell. I want to submit to you this morning, hell is no joking matter. And I'm telling you, heaven is no joking matter in all reality to understand the truth. But yet today, people make light of making fun of the Word of God. People literally today hate God. I never thought that we would see a time when Christians would be outnumbered, but I'm afraid today, and I understand that because the Bible teaches that. He said, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. But we've reached that point, and their character is to make fun of God. I'm going to tell you today, I've often said, people break into churches and steal. I tell you, even if I was a thief, I think I'd have enough respect not to break into the house of God, because God's not anybody that I want to mess with. He's not anybody that I want to tempt in any way to bring judgment upon me. The next thing we notice is their conduct. He said they're walking after their own lust. They acknowledge, they mean exactly what they say, but the reason they're scoffing at his coming is because if we believed in his really soon coming, it would change our lifestyle. People today don't want their lifestyles changed. You're going to cramp my style. In fact, I've run into people through the years in the ministry and witnessed to them, and they said, preacher, I'm not through living yet. I've got to sow my wild oats. I've got to have some fun before I settle down. Now, when I get older and get married and have family, I'll settle down. I'll start serving God. Well, the only problem with that, if you're a young person and you're waiting on that, the Lord's soon return might come quicker than that, and you might be in a mess because you failed to understand the truth of his coming. Somebody said, well, you know, if I get saved, I'm going to have to live right. No, you don't have to live right, but you will live right if you truly have been born again. The Bible said when we're indwelt by the power of God, we will see it. Is this anything new? No, it's not anything new. The Bible said in Noah's day, you remember, Matthew 24, 37 through 39, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all the way. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's going to be a lot of people going to be shocked. There's going to be people that think they're saved, and they're going to find out they wasn't saved. And when the ark of the safety is shut and the doors closed, there's not going to be any more entering in, even as it was in Noah's day. They laughed and made fun of him. I tell you, Noah had more character about him than we do. He stuck it out for all those years building that ark, and people laughing at him, making jokes about it raining. But I tell you, when the rain began to fall, they probably still laughed a little bit. But when the boat began to float and the door began to shut, they began to see that they had wasted too much time neglecting the fact that he had warned them of a flood that would come their way. You remember the people of Sodom in Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. The Bible said, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-laws." In other words, they laughed at him. They said, "Man, what you talking about? You crazy." And I tell you today, the people of our day is just like they were in the days of Noah. The people today are just like they were in the day of the people of Sodom. They do not understand or realize the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, there's going to be a great deal of surprise. People in our day, they love their sin too much to turn their lives over to the Lord. I tell you, if they could see the truth of the nature of sin, and if they could see the truth of the future of this life when we leave here, it'd make a big difference. I promise you it would. I wonder this morning if we could get a busload up and take people down for a tour of hell. We wouldn't have to get very close to it. We could probably just get within a little distance of it, and you'd know immediately if you could hear the cries of the people that have died and gone there. Felt the heat as it scorched the side of your face. You might understand that one day in all reality, Jesus is coming again. Mockers mock. Scoffers scoff. Laughers laugh. But one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What was their complaint? Look at verse 4. They said, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And I stopped to add a little bit there a while ago. But all they can do, listen, I know nothing except being raised in a Christian home, getting saved, going to church just about all my life. There was a period of time I didn't. And I tell you, things have just been going right along smoothly. And I tell you today, I probably at one time lived as if I didn't believe Jesus was really coming. But I tell you, my mindset has changed a great deal. You see, preachers from Paul's day on down through the ages, even to the nearness of me preaching here, are closer to his return than we've ever been. I tell you, I feel privileged. I tell you, I think sometime, and I've often said, "Boy, I'd have loved to have been a preacher back in the New Testament, Old Testament." I thought about that and decided I don't think I would, because they had persecution like we've never seen before, and they went through things like we've never endured. But I guarantee you one thing. I believe I'm living in a day when I could be taken to heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ without dying and go up with my church family, those who are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, to a place called heaven, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, and the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. His return, he hadn't come. Said, "I guess that means he's wrong." No, he prophesied he was going to be born. And there was a day that Jesus Christ was born into this world. He prophesied he was going to die. And yes, there's probably a lot of them, they were blinded. Even the disciples could not see it. But there came a day that Jesus died. He prophesied that he'd rise again. But they didn't act like they believed he'd rise again. They were weeping and they were praying. In fact, they just could not believe it. But one day, he rose victorious from the grave. And now today, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, he's leaving his throne and coming back to this earth to claim those who have truly been born again. His coming, I believe, is doubted, but his coming is determined. The Bible said in verse number 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." There's no reason for any Bible-believing person to be ignorant of the coming of the Lord. If they are, there's two reasons why they are. First of all, it's because they've neglected to read and study the Scripture. Or number two, it's because they've sat under somebody ministering and preaching that has not told them about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and told them not to worry about it. I've heard some people tell me, there's some churches tell the people, said, "You don't read your Bible, you don't need to, I'll tell you everything you need to know." Brother, you better be careful, anybody like that, to tell you they tell you what you need to know. You get in there and find out what you need to know by yourself, and then you better find you a preacher that preaches what the Word of God says in order that you might be told the truth along the way. But I want you to know, since he's in control, he can break into time anytime he chooses. Brother, that thunder, that clap of thunder, that trumpet sounding, and I'll tell you, he could come in a moment. The critics also forgets that God is bound by his word. Listen, if Jesus didn't come, he'd be a liar. He's not a liar. He's truth. And the Bible said that if he don't come, then this book I've been preaching is wrong. But this book is not wrong. The Bible said all Scripture is given. It's the inspiration of God and is counted profitable. In Psalm 119, verse 89, he said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you," listen, "till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus' return hangs on the word of God. Is he really coming again? Well, do you believe this book? Do you believe everything about this book? We need to understand today, as witnesses, it's the only witness we have. This is the only thing we have to go by is his word. And by the way, that's all we need to go by. There's nothing else today that can convince us or show us or prove to us what God is going to do. The formation of the world, he said. He said, for they were willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. God said in the beginning, somewhere there in Genesis, God said was used 9 times. In Psalm 33, verse 6 through 9, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and the storehouses. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." In Hebrews 11, verse number 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things were seen were not made of things which do appear." The flood in Noah's day, verse 6, the Bible said in Genesis 6, 6 and 7, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth." If it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth in Noah's day, what can you imagine he's thinking today? "And it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." I'm glad today that he promised there'd never be another flood. I'm glad today that he said that he would not destroy everybody again, because those who are saved are going to heaven. But it was God that created them, and it's God that chose to destroy them because they had disobeyed and went an opposite direction from the way God would have them to go. In Genesis 7:17, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it lifted up from the earth." He prophesied it, he promised it, and it occurred just like he said that it would. The scoffers in Noah's day said, "It'll never happen. There's no way." There's people today, they talk about, they say, "Man, you Bible thumpers, you Bible belt people, you're crazy. You don't understand the truth. There ain't no way something like that's going to happen." Friend, obviously, they don't believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in a changed life of a man who puts his faith in Christ and gets saved and born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible said he becomes a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. First of all, we notice there's the fire that is to come. He said in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now I want you to see the emphasis there that I put on that last phrase, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I'm glad today that I'm a child of God, saved by the grace of God, knowing that when the Lord comes back, I'm going to be with Him. I have the promise that I'm not going to go through the tribulation, although we will experience tribulation. In fact, he said, in this world you'll have persecution, and we've had it. But we're not going to have to go. We're not going to experience the judgment and perdition. He said, but beloved, he's speaking to them in a manner he wants them to understand he cares about them. He said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God has already, I believe, made all the combustible material that he needs to burn this earth when the time comes. I want to give you some of them quickly, and this is not a science lesson because I'm not a scientist and I don't know much. But listen at the things that we have every day around about us. We have oxygen. Oxygen is required for combustion. Often people said, how is he going to destroy the earth with fire? What is he going to do? Number one, all he's got to do is speak it. But he has all the things he needs if he wants to use them. Oxygen is required for combustion. It's what feeds the fire. You take away oxygen, the fire will go out. But you give it oxygen and it'll burn even more. And by the way, it's highly explosive material that we breathe into our bodies every day. Then there's nitrogen. It's a component that makes up dynamite, TNT, nitroglycerin. Yet every day we gulp massive quantities of nitrogen in the air we breathe. Cannot the same God that made these elements and combined them in a way that they would be a blessing to us, that they could be good to us and not explode now, but when he needs them, if he needs them, he can change the mixture and cause them to explode? Of course he can. Well, how about this one, table salt? Went to the doctor a few weeks ago. You guessed, I know y'all know what he told me because he told all y'all too. Said, don't use too much salt. Quit using salt. I don't use much salt. I never have, but I guess he thought I was using too much. But it's 1/3 sodium. Sodium by itself is a gray, putty-like substance. It must be kept in kerosene or it will explode. If a drop is placed in water, it could result in a violent fire. Yet, we eat it every day on our food. Water is composed of oxygen and hydrogen. Both are extremely explosive. Yet, combined in a manner that makes them safe, all God has to do is speak His word, and the chemical arrangement will be altered, and what has been a blessing to us will become damnation for those who have rejected God and refused to believe in Him. Yet we drink water every day, and we enjoy it. It's a wonderful thing. Then there's something called an atom. I remember learning about atoms in school. I don't remember a lot about them, but I remember learning about them. But when the atom is split, it's a chain reaction is set in motion that has the power to level cities and vaporize men. I'll never forget in Vietnam when they did some bombing with nuclear bombs, seeing a lady running. They had it in Life magazine. She was engulfed in flames and burning. And I thought about it. But here's the atom. There's water. There's table. So all those things. Then the earth. The earth has been compared to a globular egg with a hard crust covering a semi-liquid center. In scale, the earth's crust, they say, is about the same thickness of an eggshell when compared to the vast sea of lava that is under it. There have been times when this lava has burst forth and killed thousands. Yet we walk on this crust every day. And we trust in the Lord for safety every day upon this earth. I'm just saying God has everything in place, everything he needs to carry out his word, as he said. Like I said, friend, he could speak it all into existence, but these are just things that just make it exist even greater. But I'm going to tell you today, the return of Christ is a certain event. We have God's word on it. We have Jesus' word on it. In John 14, verse 1 through 3, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," I love this, "I will come again." Jesus is coming. And I believe soon. Revelation 22:20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Not only does Jesus testify of this, but even the angels speak of it. In Acts 1:10-11, "And while they looked steadfastly into heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall in like manner, as ye have seen him go into heaven, will return as ye have seen him go into heaven." So Jesus gave us his word, the angels gave us his word, and even Paul gave us his word. And I've already quoted it, so I'll not go through the whole thing. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a voice, with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." I tell you, there's coming a day. I can't figure out where I want to be when he comes. I just want to be sure I'm in God's will. But I tell you, I'd love to be preaching the word of God. I remember B.R. Lakin said, "I'd love to be sharing the gospel with somebody and then pray the sinner's prayer and get saved. And God take us up. He'd be the last one." Oh, that'd be a joy. I'd love to be preaching the word of God, no matter whether it's on the coming or not. Just preaching the word of God. And I could just preach right on into heaven. Boy, that'd be great. Then sometimes I'd like to be sitting at the cemetery on that little bench we got out there by my son's grave, my mom and dad's grave, my sister's graves, they right there. Whew, I tell you, I'm not one to do much running, much shouting, I don't guess, but I tell you, if I was sitting there when Jesus come and they came out that grave, boy, I believe we'd have a hallelujah time. It'd only be in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, but boy, what a joy it'd be. But you know, it really makes no difference where I'm at when he comes. What really makes the difference is I'm going with him when he comes. Friend, what matters today is if you're really going with him when he comes. I know today, and I don't doubt anybody's salvation. That's between them and God. But friend, I tell you, you need to know that you know that you know that you've been born again. These things have been written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. The mockers, the scoffers, and other fools. Yes, other fools. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They can laugh, but God's going to keep his promise. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and the religious crowd hollered and said, "If you be the Son of God, why don't you take them? Why don't you heal them, help them? And why don't you come down yourself?" But you know, he didn't do that. It wasn't because he couldn't. It's because he wouldn't. It's because he came to die for you and me that we may have salvation. But boy, he didn't come down that day. But I suspect some of them realized he had come back when he come out of that grave. And they said, "Oh, no doubt, this man is the Son of God." I think what Peter's trying to tell us in this passage of Scripture is man willfully ignores truth so that he can continue to live in sin and mockery of the Almighty God. Friend, if a person continues to live in sin, they're mockers. They're scoffers. You said, "Oh, no, you'd never hear me saying that. You never hear me cursing God. You never hear me mocking God." But we mock God when we don't obey his word and do what he tells us to do and walk in a manner that would be pleasing to him. Yep, the scoffers, the mockers, and all the other fools are one day going to see that Jesus truly is real. Number three, his coming is delayed. He said, "I thought you said it could be any moment." It could be. But it's delayed right now because I'm here. But look at verses 8. Here's a reality to consider. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God doesn't view time like we do. Somebody said, how was last week? What you going to do this week? God don't look at it. God is totally unaffected by time. By his accounting, Jesus has only been gone 2 days. Yet the world is only 6 days old. We must never time God by our watch. He's rarely early, but he's always on time. And friend, the time's coming when God's going to say, son, go get him. He's coming back to take us home to be with him. That's a reality to consider. And then there's a reminder to consider. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffered to us, we're not willing that any should perish. Somebody said, preacher, why hadn't God come? And I wonder, why had Jesus come? And I wonder sometimes myself why he hadn't come. I wonder how he looks down and sees what's going on in our world and is not troubled by it. And just said, listen, the best thing we do is just get them out of here. And most Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing anyway. We're not witnessing like we ought to be. We're not serving like we ought to be. We're not being faithful like we ought to be. Why don't I just go get them? One reason only. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, the Bible said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe today the reason God has not come is because he's given some slackers a little bit more time. However, God answers to no one. God is not a God of order. God is a God of order. If you don't believe me, just look at the universe. Look at the model of the precision of what we live in. But he has a purpose in everything he does in his delay. And we find here that I believe God wants people to be saved. We've got a small crowd today. I say small. It's smaller than normal. We're down a little bit today. But there could still be somebody in this building today that don't know for sure if Jesus came that they'd go home to be with him. I beg you this morning, you may be the last one. Like I said a while ago, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody got saved at Victory and that was the last one? I'm not ready. I don't want anybody to die in their sin. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want as many people to get saved as they can. Boy, what a joy when that day comes. The latter part of that verse says, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He tarries to give lost men the opportunity to make things right. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He never created it for us. He created it for lost people. God doesn't want you to have to say, listen, God does not want to have to say, when you stand before him, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Sorry, I never knew you. He said it before, and he'll say it again. He sent Jesus to die. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He calls men to himself in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. He tarries his coming and delays his judgment. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth? The final decision, however, lies on his shoulders. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's delay has given us an opportunity. Even Christians today, if we're not right with God, well, we ought to get right. We ought to live in such a manner that we believe before the day is over, he'll come. We need to get right. If you're here and you're lost, you need to be saved. Noah preached for 120 years. Man, I've been at it about 40. I can't imagine 120. Judgment came just like he said it would. Once the door was shut, the rain began to fall, those people drowned, and there was no help. How long do you have before God will say enough is enough? How long before the judgment falls on you? 2 Corinthians 6:2, and I close. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus is coming, I believe, soon.